Hey guys, welcome back to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show. Bring you guys the latest world news and health research.
And per your request, we're both here today.
We're back at it today. Told you guys we've been doing different things. Dad's been traveling some. We've got a lot of stuff going on the last couple weeks. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all the various shows and formats we've had available for y'all.
You have a scooper over there?
There's a scooper in there. It's very small.
Oh, I see it.
We have bigger ones in the newer cans, I think.
By the way, powdered multiples on sale.
Yeah. See, it was perfect. We had a can here today we've been working on. And, yeah, you guys voted. It won by a landslide. I mean, it was like nothing even else got voted on.
With the powder multiple?
Yeah, it was like everything else got like 3 and 4 votes.
I'm not going to say anything.
Multiple powder got like 80 votes.
I'm not going to say anything about the multiple powder. Years ago, we talked about multiple powders.
You know, you're gonna just keep this one on, aren't you?
I'm not going to say anything. And we realized that it was something that we really needed to have because people don't like swallowing pills. I don't either. But I take them every day. I swallow them because they're that important.
Well, it can be used for kids, adults, elderly, everybody, because you can mix it simply in a glass of water if you want and take it just by itself.
It actually tastes good.
Yeah, you can mix it with shakes. I like throwing it in my shakes every morning when I do it. That's why I'm not here. I want to show you guys that. So be sure to check it out on sale right now for product of the week. And also, too, make sure you're staying up to date on all the various podcast shows we put together for you. Stay updated so you get the podcast straight to your email at thebrowershow.com. You can get updated on that. I show you guys that all the time. Not to be redundant, because a lot of people still are new to the show and want to see how you add to the Brower Show and the Health Masters Report right here, both of them. You can do either or both. I recommend both. That way you get all the sales, specials, 3-packs, coupons, different things that are going on this site, and then you get all the Brower Show updates every single day at thebrowershow.com. And also, be sure, if you can do this, and I appreciate it because you guys have been doing a heck of a job on it. If you tried the products and you like them, make sure you're giving us a review on them and let us know how they're working for you. I'm getting a ton of those on here, and I appreciate that. As far as the updated reviews at healthmasters.com. And one of the first health things I want to cover here is we got a lot of health stuff we're going to cover here. This one was added, and it said, there's a few things. It said, why so many kids and teens are anxious and depressed and what you can do about it. So you guys know on this show, I don't like just coming up with random topics or, you know, world topics all the time that we can't control or affect or have any impact in positively. And this is a topic that keeps getting brought up to me by numerous parents. And it says, how do we get here? And in a brief nutshell on here, it says chronic stress and overloading.
That's a big deal.
That's a big deal with kids. Give me camera 4. Sleep deprivation. Screen time explosion. I've told you this all the time. This is a huge one. Because screens are interactive, swipes, likes, comment, rapid visual change. The brain learns to anticipate more input, so it never truly powers down. Over time, the combination wires kids towards hypervigilant rather than rest, calm, or emotional regulation. Processed foods and nutrient deficiency. This one, by far, has been one of the long-term those horrific things for kids.
Well, no, Kennedy's addressing this with the artificial dyes and the high sugar intake, the low omega fat. The other day I was at a hotel. I was traveling, and I had to ask they had a buffet set up for breakfast.
Yeah.
And they were making omelets.
Yeah.
Now, you'd have thought that I was the redheaded adopted stepchild, not to offend you if you have red hair.
Yeah.
But it was unbelievable. I asked them, I said, what I want to do is I want to have the ability to have an egg omelet that I want you to crack the eggs with.
Yeah.
Because they had a big container of eggs.
Yeah.
Now, whether they had cracked the eggs into that or not, or they've used the processed eggs, the liquid eggs, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think we're doing something.
Yeah. We're doing something.
And what happened is the lady looked at me kind of funny like, and then I told her, I said, and then she said, well, I use olive oil to cook in. And I said, well, why are you using that Pam spray? And she goes, oh, I do that just to coat the pan. I said, no. I said, we're going to use real butter on the eggs.
There you go.
And I said, I want a 4-egg omelet. I want you to crack the eggs in front of me. And she looked at me. She goes, you want me to do it right now? I've got eggs here. I said, no. Now, remember, there's people standing in line behind me.
Of course, sir.
I have to be that guy. I'm not happy that guy.
You have to be that guy.
And so they're all looking at me. And now they're asking me questions.
Yeah, well, they probably wondering why you're doing this.
And then finally one lady orders a egg white omelet.
Yeah.
And she's waiting for that. And I said to her, I said, why did you order an egg white omelet? I did.
The problem is sometimes it's too early for that, man.
Well, no.
Sometimes it's too early for that.
No, she was interesting. And she goes, it's for my husband. I said, okay. He only eats egg white omelets. And I said, okay, that's great. And I said, now, you know, the egg study that was done showing that cholesterol was affected by the yolk of the egg was powdered eggs. And I said it was done like, you know, 70 years ago when it was a bogus study. He's a cardiologist.
And a cardiologist.
I said, well, I'm also a naturopathic physician. And I said, you know, I'm happy he's a cardiologist, but I can't believe he's eating egg white eggs, because that, like, that has been shown a long, long time ago to be nonsense. I said the eggs are yellow from the in the yolk because of sulfur, which is important for the hair and for the nails and for the body's health. It's an essential nutrient. And she goes, well, he doesn't want that. He only wants. I looked at her, and I said, you know, look, I said, you know, here's the deal. I don't care what your husband does. I'm just letting you know. As they're making my eggs, cooked in butter, just swinging a pile of butter.
Yeah.
You know, all the yolks.
Whole eggs.
Oh, yeah. And I thought to myself, I wonder what her husband looks like. And I didn't see her husband. I can imagine what he looked like. But the problem I'm sure he was a pencil neck. I shouldn't have said that. But the point is, I don't understand any of this. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to be ugly. It's going to really affect his testosterone.
Well, he's probably on statins, honestly.
And he's going to really have a reduced libido, which after looking at his wife, he's probably happy with.
Dude.
I can't believe I said that.
It's Thursday, man.
No,
easy.
No,
we just got back on the show
it
together.
It was rough. And I thought to myself,
here we go.
This is... But the point was, here was the perfect example of what not to do, how to do it. And here I was. But I had all these other people asking me all these questions. And so I enjoyed that. So I had a little session there. And then I was at the airport, and I spoke to this lady, and she was recovering from cancer. And then she asked me my name. I told her I was an author. And so she Googles me.
Yeah.
Okay, her friend did. And her friend goes, you're, like, famous, which that's kind of nebulous. That we don't know what that means at all. It means people know who I am sometimes. And she goes, I want my picture taken today. Today's my 50th birthday. No, so they were black ladies. They were really funny. And then the one lady has a place over in Tampa where she's becoming a herbalist, and she's the one who was recovering from the cancer. And I was talking to her, but what was interesting is that you don't realize how many people out there really want good health information, but they can't find it.
But that is true.
Okay, and so what I do when I'm sitting at an airport, I'm waiting for 2 hours for a flight to leave. I find people to talk to sometimes. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'll work on my show or for this show or our show, and I'll be posting stories. But it's been interesting. Oh, by the way, here's
another. Whoa.
What?
Dude, I'm not even halfway done with my article.
Oh, good. Oh, I didn't know that.
I know you did solo this week.
I did.
I know you didn't solo. I did. Solo on a regular basis now.
Yeah. So solo means that one of us is not in town to do the show. Now, I did talk to Michael Barrett yesterday, my buddy Mike, and I said, look, I said, we got to fix this mess. I said, you've got to find a way that if we're out of town, that we can still appear on the show as if we're and be live and interact with one another. He's working on that right now.
People like what I did solo the other day. Apparently, I got a really good show on Monday.
Oh, you're amazing.
I got a lot of good emails on that. So thank you guys for that, by the way. I like positive emails. I get a lot of negative emails, a lot of them. I just ignore them most of the time and delete them. But I actually got positive ones on Monday. Pretty much it was like an all-health show. So without further ado, back to my health article that I was just discussing on processed foods and nutrient deficiencies with children on the rise with ultra-processed foods.
Magnesium.
And it says the gut-brain axis is not theoretical. It's one of the most well-documented pathways in pediatric neurobiology.
Now, that's also for adults too.
It goes the same way. The problem is they're saying that children, because a lot of times children have such cleaner bodies, and they're so young, and they're also in such a developmental phase, they're much more susceptible to these high doses of ultra-processed foods. It says kids, they are commonly deficient in magnesium, zinc, iron, omega-3s, and B vitamins. That hits all these on the head, by the way, except for the omega-3. Everything. That's why I tell people, you don't have to make your supplement stack, especially for your kids, complicated. Cod liver oil and multiple. Chewable, powder, capsules, whatever you want. This is the most cost-effective because you get the most in it. It's not hard. And it goes on to say here, it says, when they run low, the brain becomes more fragile, irritability increases, focus drops, emotional regulation weakens, and anxiety rises. Now remember, young children have a very difficult time regulating anxiety and mood and emotions because they have not developed properly because they're still young children. Their brains aren't done. So they have much more susceptibility to this behavior. And it goes into detail here. blood sugar spike, blood spike sugar creates a cycle, the glucose roller coaster. We talk about it all the time, which triggers adrenaline, which leads to chaotic behavior and crashes. So children do this all day, and they're much, much more susceptible. It says loss of outdoor play. Number five, children today spend 90% of their time indoors. 90%. That was funny. Yesterday, I was back over the house working on some stuff, and Lana came back from running some errands, and she goes, "Where's Hunter Kendall at?" And I said, "I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine." And she starts freaking out. She goes to the backyard. She goes out the shop. She's running around. She goes, "You know where they're at?" I said, "No, I don't know where they're at." She goes, "Oh, oh." She goes over to your house.
She asked me. I said,
"She literally
I don't know.
Goes over to his house." She walks all the way over there, goes to his property. Then I'm in the kitchen working on a computer, and I hear somebody giggling. Sounds like my daughter. So I go to my front door and open up the speakeasy, and they're out on the front porch setting up a fort on the front porch of the house because they want to take a nap and get sun out on the front porch. I said, "Have you guys been out here?" He goes, "Yeah, we've been out here for like an hour." Hee hee. And I started laughing because the problem is most kids don't have any type of outdoor play.
Atlanta ran down to the lake looking for
them. Oh, she's freaking out. I said, trust me, they'll survive. They'll be just fine. Number six on here was the pandemic disruption. That really messed up a lot of kids.
A lot of kids commit suicide
on
that one.
That was bad.
That's bad.
Kids weren't allowed to go. Their parents treated them like they were basically, you know, isolated convicts. Wouldn't let them out of the room, wouldn't let them go outside, wouldn't let them be around kids, wouldn't
remember
let them
the
birthday parties.
Remember the ones down there in Australia got locked up for this because they ran around?
Then they escaped. Suddenly we never heard about what happened to those kids again.
Well, I think Australia was embarrassed.
Yeah. And so the seven steps now. You guys like solutions? I give you solutions. I don't like bringing stuff up, so I can bring you a solution. Seven steps to restore your child's mental health. Protect sleep like medicine. Consistent bedtimes, no screens, 60 to 90 minutes before bed. Cool, dark bedroom. Calming bedtime rituals create the foundation of healthy sleep. This is the number one intervention with the biggest payoff is sleep with young kids, and I found that to be very true. Reduce the stimulation overload, living fast-paced, dopamine-spiking content, removing phones from bedrooms to creating daily no-tech windows gives children nervous system time to recalibrate. This is enormous. Kids need boredom to develop emotional resilience. That's a fact. Don't think that you're doing your children a favor by constantly keeping them just wrapped up with screens, wrapped up with content. Well, they're bored. I got to keep them entertained. Children at young ages are designed to figure out how to entertain themselves. They're not designed to have a screen shoved in their face every single time they have to ride in a car for 10 minutes. Fact. You don't have to do it. You don't have to continually keep them on a dopamine trigger spike all day long. Prioritize nutrition, gut health. I just talked about it. Multiple powder. Omega-3 fats.
Probiotics, if you've had more antibiotics.
Probiotics. And there's numerous studies now that show just one whole egg a day with children as they're growing up can actually increase IQ points as they grow and as they basically develop. One egg a day, every day. Now, my kids and toddlers eat more than that. You can also throw in avocados with that.
Stetson's an egg-eating machine.
No, gosh. He likes his organic cheese and his eggs. I mean, he'll shovel them down. But again, why? Because you're eating whole foods. The more processed, the more ingredients, the more things on the label, the less they are for your body to be able to absorb properly, give your body the proper nutrition, and the more inflammation they cause. Move the body every day. Number four, movement is not optional for kids with anxiety. Exercise naturally increases serotonin and other neurotransmitters, improving mood and brain focus. Let me say this very clearly. It's not a problem. It's not a health issue. It's not a disorder if a child needs to move a lot and play and go around and actually be active. That is normal behavior, especially if you have a kid that's eating clean, taking the right supplements, and not getting hooked on dopamine triggers. It's okay for them to be active. Send them outside and let them run around. Let them ride bikes. Let them have creative play. It says teach nervous system regulation, children need tools to keep breathing, ground techniques, nature exposure, mindful practices. Restore community and unstructured play. That's huge. My Hunter's got a couple of his little friends that are all around the same age. He's one of the oldest. They have their Nerf gun wars every week. Every week they have their Nerf wars. They come over to my property.
My backyard.
I texted Adam and said, "Hey, there's four children somewhere on your property, and they've got multiple Nerf guns. Just if you see them do something stupid, yell at them. If not, just let them be. They're in the middle of, you know, conflict over there. Therefore, back and forth to the lake. Consider functional testing if needed. If symptoms persist, target testing can uncover nutrient deficiencies, gut inflammation, and also, too, look at functional testing as far as when it comes to schooling. If they're having an issue with reading.
It could be dyslexia.
Could be dyslexia. They may need help with that. An issue with mathematics. If they're looking at something, you can't just get mad at them and say, well, you're not doing this. You don't understand it. They might be having some issue as far as the way they're reading, the way they're thinking, the way they're observing, the way they're taking in certain numbers or certain words or reading. If that's the case, get them structured help with that. Don't just put them on Adderall or Ritalin, guys, because they have a problem with something.
It's funny. I had a parent come to me here a while back, and they said, can you help me to teach my child how to read? They're almost 10 years old and they really can't read. Can you help them with the vocabulary words? And I said, you need to get them checked for dyslexia. You need to get them checked and see what their reading scores are. You may have to put them in a private tutor's type of situation in which they can get tested and worked with, because if they've been taught how to do, whole language instead of phonics as far as reading, they may not be able to sound the words out, and that's why they can't do the spelling words. And I said, what I'm not going to do is get involved in this and start arguing or fussing with this child if it may be some type of disorder they have.
It doesn't help.
It just helps. Just get a check.
If all you're doing is getting frustrated, you're yelling at your kid because they don't know what they're doing, they may not have an understanding of what they're doing.
Another thing that's interesting is you have to really be careful with children, especially young boys, as far as mathematics.
Yes.
Parts of the brain don't develop as quickly as parts of the brain do with girls. I know when I was little, they put me up a year because my IQ was high and my testing was so high. And so when I'm in fourth grade, I'm supposed to be in third grade.
Right.
And they have all these multiplication tables they have, and what are these and what are these? And I didn't want to learn those. I didn't care. So I remember my teacher was Miss Stevenson, and she finally told me, she goes, if you're not going to learn your multiplication tables, you can't go to PE. And I thought, I said, oh, the challenge is on, right? And I'm looking at her going, okay, this is not right. And so she said, you have to stay in here. You can't go to PE. You can't go out and play and run until your multiplication tables are done. And I had learned up to like sevens, right? And so I went ahead and looked at them. I said, okay, I'll learn these. I learned them like 10 or 15 minutes. And I'm not kidding. It was like 10 or 15 minutes. And I walked up to her and I said, okay, I got my multiplications done. Well, then she tested me on them. And she looked at me, she just started laughing. She said, go outside.
Sandbagging.
Well, yeah. Well, the point.
But
I wasn't ready for it. I was in third grade, but I was in fourth grade. My brain could do it, but my brain didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And there's one other thing I want to go back up here. To go up to the thing. It said something. It said you have to retort prior towards gut health, reduce stimulation load, restore community structured play. Do body, move the body every day, prioritize. But the thing I want to say here is this: a lot of kids get really affected quickly by their diet. That's because they feel so good that they start being affected almost immediately. Yeah. When Austin mentioned this, when they eat something that's junk. Most adults have felt so bad for so long.
It's normal.
Yeah. And they don't remember what it feels like to feel good anymore. They're mentally fogged all the time. All they want to do is sleep. They don't want to go out. They don't want to work out. They don't want to go to work. Heaven forbid they go to work. They hate work. They hate their jobs. And so they get to a situation where they have to have outside leisure time, like golf or bowling or whatever, just to try to feel normal again. And they still feel terrible while they do those activities. That's why it's important that you go on a GHI cleanse. Yep. You start taking your powdered multiple every single day, and you learn what it was to feel good again. Because you can really feel good every day of your life, but you can't if you feel bad and things are going really, really bad for you right now. You got to ask yourself a question: why in the world do you think it's going to get different if you don't change what you're doing? If you can't get off the couch because you're exhausted all the time and all you want to do is sleep, why do you think you're going to get better if you keep eating the same foods and maintaining the same lifestyle choices?
Fact.
if you're 100 pounds overweight, I'm not picking on you, or 200 pounds or 300 pounds overweight, do you really think that you're going to want to go out and walk for 5 miles or 10 miles? And what happens if we really have the scenario where the poop hits the fan and you've got to get out, you've got to do something to stay alive? How are you going to do that if you're 100, 200, 300 pounds overweight? You can barely get off the couch. Your feet stay swollen all the time. Your feet hurt all the time. And you ask yourself a question. Well, it's just the way it is. No, it's the way it is because that's the way you want it to be, because that's the way you've been eating for 20 years.
I still remember. And it was just off the cuff. And I remember everybody was on point already. I mean, it was years back. We had these hurricanes. And it was like back to back to back.
Three of them
back to back.
6 weeks.
And I mean, it was like, first time we lost trees in the first one. The second we lost a lot of trees. Then on like the third week, it was like everything was flooded. Everybody, there was trees down everywhere. And I remember it was probably almost a week straight. I mean, everybody.
No power.
No power. Zero power. Zero internet. Zero contact. And so it just went back to old school. All the neighbors are going back between houses and side by sides and trucks. We're chainsawing trees out left and right, chaining trees up. And sure enough, after about 3 or 4 days, everybody kind of just normalized it. That was because a lot of people around here are still pretty old school with it. You get into some places where it's like,
except for that one neighbor from HE Double Sticks. That one neighbor, okay? I'm out with the blower, cleaning out the driveways, you're getting the road clear so cars can actually pass through them, right, and raking off the stuff. And I'm doing it for everybody. And the one neighbor comes out and starts raising HE double sticks with me because I was cleaning the road. You remember that?
They were mad at life, dude.
And I'm like, what? And I looked at her. I said, what is wrong with you? I said, the county's not going to be here. There's nobody coming to save you.
No, nobody's coming to save us.
I said, we can't even drive on the road. You don't have to drive on this road. You have driveways before this. I'm cleaning the mess up. And now that lady has since gone to wherever she left. I mean, I don't know if she went to heaven or went to the other place. I have no idea. But the point is, she's unbelievably mean. But well, most people aren't like that. Most people want to pull together. Yeah.
You know, I got a shirt. You always laugh at it. On the back of it says, nobody's coming to save you. And a lot of people misunderstand that shirt. And what that really means, a lot of it's an old military adage, is that if it is to be, it's up to us. We got to come together. Nobody's coming to save us. We're on our own with this. I mean,
that's why we do the podcast.
We're on the podcast for this reason. Nobody's coming to save us. Nobody's coming to save your health. If you keep doing the same things you're doing, nobody's changing it for you. You can keep doing it. You keep eating the junk food. You can keep taking the COVID shot. You can keep drinking the soda. Nobody's going to stop you. You're a grown adult. Nobody's going to come to your house. I'm not going to knock at your house every single morning and say, did you get your purple sticks in today? Did you get your 20 minutes of cardio? Did you eat some eggs instead of eating cereal? I'm going to check on you again tomorrow. I'm not coming to save you. Nobody's coming to save you. If it is to be, it's up to us. We all got to work together. And that's why everybody has to try to pull their weight for one another when you have people that are being reciprocal.
That was a really good segue.
It's true.
No, I mean, I've never heard you put it that way before. That was really...
It's true.
But it's true because I've said that so many times. Jim Rohn said it this way. If you got to call somebody up every day to pump them up, get them motivated. What happens if they don't show up to pump you up? What, you lay in bed all day? And it's the truth.
It's up to you. And that's why we do on the show, to give you guys the content, the knowledge, the basis of being able to change things on your own. Because, I mean, let's be real. It's well aware. We've talked about it for years on this show, but it's well aware now that we have an entire government that's run by pedophiles. Let's just be real.
Sex death cult runs the planet.
It's running. I don't want to get into this topic and make it all day. I've already covered some stuff with Epstein. The reason why I haven't been going off on it every single day, I've gone off on it every single day for a decade. I mean, it's...
Sick of it.
I'm sick of it. We asked for it. It's there. We knew what was on it. They've come clean on a lot of stuff now. And here's the crazy part. They've come clean on it now, on a lot of stuff. You notice how many people the FBI has indicted sex trafficking?
Nothing changed.
Patel got on national television and sent out an entire U.S. memo stating last year that the FBI has reviewed all Epstein files,
all
Epstein content, all Epstein data, all Epstein videos, and that nobody is going to be basically prosecuted or indicted because there's nobody to investigate. I mean, we got some of the most bizarre emails you've ever read in your life that have gotten released now.
And now, I will say this. Some other people have been coming out now saying that certain other people are in the Epstein files. A lot of this is bogus.
That's also what I've heard, too.
Okay.
A lot of it's distractional theater.
Okay. Now, also, I'm going to say one other thing. Somebody sent me some pictures last night of Donald Trump with some underage girls.
Yeah.
I don't believe they're real. Now, here's why. Now, listen to me for a second. I'm not advocating or suggesting, or I'm not making any claims about anybody doing anything with these underage girls. It's like 10-year-olds, okay? Here's the problem I've got. No adult male is going to sit there and have somebody take a Polaroid of them with a 10-year-old girl.
I guess that's true. I didn't think about it that way. You're right.
You'd be dumber than a box of rocks. I mean, you'd be so stupid you couldn't even breathe air and walk at the same time if you did something like that. I'm saying that.
Well, no, you got to think about it. If these pedos were doing that, somebody takes a photo of them, they're going to go, Give me camera.
I'm going to say to them, what the hell are you doing taking a picture of me with this kid?
I didn't think about that. You're right.
No, it's not true. Yeah. These things aren't true. I don't believe them.
You notice how all this stuff's gotten released now when we're at we're getting to the point now where AI is getting almost unrecognizably
good. That's right. No, and so that's why I say to you, don't believe all the stuff you're seeing with these photographs. Now, I'm not saying some of the stuff didn't happen. I'm not even saying who it happened with. But I'm saying is nobody in their right mind is going to want photographs taken of themselves and pose for a camera like that. Now, if you had a screenshot for the hidden camera, okay, that's one thing that's bad enough.
Surveillance camera.
Yeah. But
no, you're right. These photos that are coming out, they're like somewhere sitting. Because remember, they probably didn't have camera phones back then. You're sitting there with a flash Polaroid. Canon camera.
Our local sheriff got named in one of these Epstein files. Okay, I don't believe that for a second. Okay, and the girl had been arrested. Well, then she starts making all these claims about so-and-so's involved in this too. I don't believe any of it. I don't believe it because people will say anything about anyone to try to make themselves feel better. Jim Rohn said it this way, and I've mentioned it before. There's two ways to have the tallest building in a town. Yep. Number one is to tear all the other buildings down. That'll get you the tallest building. or just work on your own building one brick at a time. Some of these people, they get caught doing things they shouldn't want to do, and they're going to drag everybody into
deflection,
a ditch with them.
Too.
That's all deflection. So don't believe all of this stuff. Use discernment. Look at what's going on. Look at what the behavioral patterns are, because I've told you this. We are run by an ancient Canaanite religion that's a sex death cult. It's through Shabbat. Whether you want to believe it or not, the FBI just came out yesterday and released a big bunch of drove of information that said that Epstein was Mossad and he worked for Israel.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we told you that 5 years ago. I mean, we told you, and I don't believe for 1 second that Epstein's dead. Mossad doesn't kill Mossad. I've told you that, too.
I watched another video, and a big social media guy, he's very conservative, very open on a lot of topics that we are, and he brought up in detail. He said, same thing. He said, I think a lot of the stuff they did with Epstein is designed to get everybody distracted. Mm-hmm. Once again, because now they're giving us all this content. Here's the problem. When they give you a bunch of real news, and they give you a bunch of fake news, and they give you a bunch of AI stuff, and they give you a bunch of fake stuff.
Unbelievable.
It's hard to... How in the world did the FBI go through 3 million different pages of files and content and videos over the last year? And they found nothing at all, but yet now they're releasing all this stuff. So you have these two things. Either they're using this deflection in theater, or the FBI completely is totally they're incompetent, and they didn't look through anything.
Well, the crazy part about it, you think about it for a second. Nothing to see here, but we have 3 million pages.
Right.
No, come on, guys. Are you think that everybody's that stupid, that dumbed down on fluoride, that you got 3 million pages of investigation on one individual, and there's nothing to see? Why didn't you stop at 10 pages? Why do you need 3 million pages? I mean, they dug deep into him, and they found all the stuff out.
And here's the thing. If they had millions of pages like they've had for the last decade on it, why?
25 years.
There's a video that somebody just sent me the other day. I may post it. There's nothing bad in it. It's a completely AI-generated UFC fight with Adolf Hitler and Jeffrey Epstein.
Who wins?
I didn't even finish it. I just watched part of it. It was really funny. But I'm talking like... This is a full AI video, 100% digital AI. And if you weren't actually paying attention, you saw this, and you didn't know, obviously, the content of it, I truly believe a lot of people would think it's actually legitimate if you didn't know, obviously, like, the whole situation. And so I watched a big chunk of it, and I was like, this is bizarre. This is getting real. And we're to the point now where it's hard to even determine what's real and what's not just on social media. Guys, where do you think a lot of the DOD and the military, as far as the psychological warfare and the CIA is at with artificial intelligence already? Why do you think we're pumping $500 billion in AI infrastructure across the country at a rate so rapid people don't even know how fast these building centers are going up? Why? So we can do a little bit better algorithm on social media? Remember how they said we were doing, $2 trillion in 5G infrastructure across the entire United States so everybody can have faster internet service?
Remember we talked about it last week, and my buddy from California sent me the article on this that he had written and said that basically they're running a simulation on you and me and you every single day with the millions of data points they collect every day from your social media interaction.
It's emails, it's phone calls, it's data searches, it's web browsing, it's everything that has a digital footprint.
I'm going to say something to you real direct. Like, I got in an argument with a friend of mine that last year who had sent me a text that was really not necessary. And I said, how dare you send me a text like this, basically over an unsecured line? That stuff all goes out into the ether, into the internet.
Especially when you have people that start sending inflammatory rhetoric or comments.
Well, no.
Allegations or accusations.
No, why are you saying stuff like this over the internet? I mean, because this all is public knowledge. You can pull it up. And be careful now, because if you look into the cloud, okay, it'll tell you the cloud has all of your text messages saved.
Yeah.
Saved. Now, if you could tell the cloud to erase those text messages, which you need to do, by the way, and because you don't know what somebody has said to you that's not even true, but it's saved. Never give people evidence like that against you if they want to break in or hack into the cloud and start finding stuff. It's unbelievably frustrating nowadays, and especially with the AI stuff that's out there, all of a sudden you can't even tell it's real, like Adolf Hitler fighting Jeffrey Epstein. I hope Adolf Hitler won, by the way.
I pulled up. I'll show you if you want to see it.
Let's cover another health story.
I guess
scientists discovered nearly 40% of cancers are caused by 30 reversible lifestyle habits. Now, I found this very, very interesting because to me it's like this. If you really take a look at what's going on with cancer and you start looking at how many people are out there with cancer, you start realizing that a lot of these people are doing the same things. Now, one of the chemicals they talk about avoiding in this, and I'm going to be honest with you, I've talked about this before, I'm going to mention it again, there are a lot of other chemicals I'm not going to go into detail with, is trichloroethylene. If you're dry cleaning your clothes, you're being exposed in most cases to trichloroethylene or a variety of types of products like that. And also, if you're using decaffeinated coffee, which I recommend that you use Purple Sticks instead, that if you're using decaffeinated coffee, it's probably been decaffeinated with trichloroethylene. There's all kinds of exposure that you get to this kind of stuff in all these different solvents, and it's being used to do all kinds of things, including extracting seed oil, omega-6 seed oils. So you're getting this residue of trichloroethylene in all of those oils that you're eating, on top of the fact that it's turning your blood to jelly. Omega-6 makes your blood really, really thick. So try to avoid these. But talk about trichloroethylene, talk about sulfuric acid, and then I mentioned silica. Silica is used as a compound in a lot of different foods. You really need to avoid it. I remember years ago, I had this company wanted me to promote their vitamin supplement, and the primary ingredient, the first ingredient was silica. You remember that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, unbelievable. And then it goes, and then it lists a bunch of other stuff you need to stay away from, including like asbestos, et cetera. And then it says avoid tobacco, avoid alcohol, which we talk about all of the time. Avoid a high BMI with a high percentage of body fat. Make sure you get enough exercise. Don't use smokeless tobacco. You know, suboptimal breastfeeding for children can massively increase the risk of breast cancer on these kids. Air pollution, UV, also H. pylori. And then it has a lot of other things that you basically, different types of viruses that you can catch, you got to try to avoid. And then what it doesn't go into detail with is crazy, because it's saying about these lifestyle habits, is the fact that you need to be taking antioxidants every day.
Yes.
You need to be taking that every day. Okay? It's got the C. It's got the D. It's got all of it in there.
If you really want the magnesium, this goes in with the magnesium brain food.
Oh, my goodness,
this
tastes good.
It stacks with it.
Yeah, and if you really want to make it really taste pretty good with a little twang to it, throw the powdered vitamin C in with it. I mean, I
get that powdered vitamin C dialed in, dude.
Ooh, that stuff is good. This morning I got up and I had my two purple sticks for breakfast. That was my breakfast with a scoop of the powdered vitamin C with 5 turmeric. You know, and a few other supplements, and I have that for breakfast. I have that every morning for breakfast. It really gives me a good kick in the pants to get started with for the show, because I was on with John Moore this morning at 8 o'clock. That was a sleepy show for me, boy. But John, I love John. He's a good friend. But the crazy part about all of this stuff is you got to have the nutrients in your body, and you got to get the toxins out. That's why we talk about the GHI cleanse, and that's why, man, we blew up the doggone phones with the NAC the other day. I did that show on Tuesday on NAC. You did it on Monday.
We did it back-to-back.
Oh,
I did a Monday show on it. You did a Tuesday show on it. Monday's show is pretty much primarily a detox show. And I explained to everybody, if you haven't listened to Monday's show, I highly suggest it. It was a really good show.
Great show.
I was running on a tension factor on all 12 cylinders that morning. And it was one of those shows where I really wanted to get a message out there and convey to everybody, you know, yes, you can do certain things or take this nutrient, but you've got to get the toxins out of your body first, get the inflammation down to get the most out of it. You can't sit there. Here's an analogy. It's a car analogy. Everybody loves this. If you've got gas that's been sitting in a vehicle, everybody's had this happen. Car's sitting for a long time.
Happens with side-by-sides.
Side-by-sides, four-wheelers. Gas been sitting in a tank. You got a full tank, but you never went riding. It's been sitting for 2 years. It's 87, it's ethanol, and it's gummed up, it's gelled up. Well, if you go in and you go to the gas station, like I'm going to go ride, the 4x4 side-by-side's running like crap. It's got this old 2-year-old gas in it. And you go put some 93, but you can only get like a quarter of a gallon and take a 93. The 93 is great. It's brand new. It's got Tektron in it. It's running great. But the fuel still got 87 the rest of it.
Yeah, got water in it.
You only put a tiny bit of good stuff in top of the tank that's bad. Well, you got to do is you got to drain the tank hole, but you got to get all the toxic sludge out of the tank.
You got to cleanse yourself.
Got to cleanse it out and get down to a tank that's empty, and then put the fresh fuel, then put the fresh energy, then put the fresh octane booster in it, and you're shocked at how much better it runs. That's what you got to do here. And here's an article here, and it goes into detail again on it. It says ultra processed foods need to be treated like cigarettes more than food.
Whoa!
It's a whole article talking about ultra processed foods have more in common with cigarettes than they do with real food, but require almost no regulation.
Or warning labels.
UPFs, ultra-processed foods, and cigarettes are engineered to encourage addiction and consumption. Researchers from 3 universities now pointed to parallels in widespread harm. UPFs, which are widely available worldwide, are food products that have been industrially manufactured, including emulsifiers, artificial colors and flavors. This includes soft drinks, packaged snacks, crisp biscuits, cereal. They're similar in the process product. I'm going to slow it down for you guys. They are similarities in the production process of UPFs and cigarettes, and manufacturers' efforts to optimize the dose of products and how quickly they act on the reward pathways in the body. I talked about this in detail last year. According to the paper from researchers at Harvard, University of Michigan, and Duke, they draw on the data from fields of addiction science, nutrition, and public health to make their comparisons. Published February 3rd, just the other day, in Milbank Quarterly, the authors suggest that marketing claims on the product, such as being low-fat, sugar-free, or health washing, can stall regulation akin to the advertisements of cigarette filters in the 1950s. Most UPFs have more characteristics with cigarettes than with minimally processed food. Wow. They're saying here is they need to be listed as basically an addictive property. It needs to show this product causes cancer. This product is addictive. They need to have the same box warnings that cigarettes do on ultra processed. This is three big universities, by the way.
Yeah, the other day I was at the hotel and there was some Swiss Miss chocolate. It was the worst, but I don't recommend that product at all.
And, I think it's high fructose corn syrup.
No, that's exactly right. Yeah. It has high fructose corn syrup in it. Now, the only reason I would suggest they would do that, number one, cost. And number two, it makes it addictive.
Yeah.
Okay. And now you're saying, well, you think they're making. They all do this. I'm not just picking on Swiss Miss. I would know. Why can't they just use regular chocolate with some regular sugar that's organic? I mean, if you're going to use sugar, just use some sugar, but don't use the high fructose corn syrup mix. It's you don't have to put 25 ingredients in a product like that.
It's hot chocolate.
It's just hot chocolate.
Cocoa, sugar, vanilla flavoring.
Get some raw certified milk. Throw some chocolate in it. Throw a little bit of honey in it if you want to do it that way. And stir it up. It tastes great. You got three ingredients in it. That's it. You don't need 25 ingredients. And you see all of this stuff, and so much of this stuff is exactly what they say. It should have warning labels on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not picking on Swiss Miss. I'm just telling you that you can make your own hot chocolate, and you can basically make it a lot healthier if you want to drink stuff like that.
Or you make a chocolate protein shake. I do this all the time. If you just want to keep it simple and clean, I do this for the kids. You take about 16 ounces of whole, raw, certified organic milk. You throw like two frozen bananas with some ice, and throw in 3 to 4 scoops of chocolate Fit Food.
Make sure the bananas are frozen.
Yeah. You'd be shocked on how good it literally tastes like a chocolate milkshake. But you're getting like 40 grams of protein. Yeah. And the kids will drink it up in a second. Oh, my gosh, we love it. Yeah, they're getting good protein. They're getting good nutrients. They're getting raw whole milk. They're getting organic bananas. And, A, it's way cheaper than going to basically, you know, Dairy Queen or any of these places over here and getting this soft-serve sludge with high fructose corn syrup and polyascorbate 80. And you're going to pay $5, $6 per milkshake. You know, I was always enthralled and just intrigued when I was younger, as far as college years, because I used to like Frosties when I was in college.
I should remember your mom. I was just thinking the same thing.
Well, one day I got a Frosty, and I drank like part of it. It gave me a wicked headache. I left it in my truck. I was 18. I came back out the next day, and it was just like thick foam that hadn't really even dissolved. It was still like halfway full. And I'm looking at it, and it looked like some type of chemical concoction it had turned into in the truck.
You know,
it wasn't even like melted.
About 20 years ago, we were up visiting Robin and Wendy Martin.
Never drank one again after that.
Up in Georgia.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, Sharon, for some reason, we stopped and got like a grilled whatever. We got a Wendy's.
Yeah.
And she wanted a Frosty.
Yeah.
And I told her, I said, whatever. I don't care. I'm not drinking it. And she got the worst headache.
Yep.
You remember that?
Same thing.
Put her in bed for a day. She was so sick with a headache. And she looked at me. She goes, I will never touch that product again. And she never did. The problem is that how many people drink that kind of stuff every single day and they wonder why they feel so bad? And they're always trying to get their sugar levels up, their blood sugar levels up, their energy levels up, their adrenaline levels up to the point when their body just stops and the body freaks out. Now it's got high sugar, high adrenaline, high everything, and it's got maximum cortisol and they feel like crap, but they want to have more stimulants to get up again because they feel so horrible. And that's how most people live. It's sad the way it is. It really is.
Well, it's because a lot of people, you know, they remember the old Frosties. And I think originally, way back in the day, the Frosties, before a lot of these ultra-processed chemicals came out, it was like sugar, milk. It was like a soft-serve chocolate shake is what it was. That's no more, guys. Understand that the days of what you remember 30, 40 years ago, the days of a lot of the old-school things are gone. Almost all the foods have been compromised. I mean, Chick-fil-A is a perfect example. And I'm not picking on them as only one. But, I mean, they have completely compromised their food now. The original owners who started that were actually very keen on nutrients and actually real chicken and real and trying to make it without a bunch of processed sugar. There's 62 or 67 ingredients.
MSG.
In a Chick-fil-A filet, the fried breaded Chick-fil-A sandwich. You look it up, it's insane. I mean, everything from MSG to high fructose corn syrup. Some of them have food coloring in them. I mean, all the way down the line, it's not what it used to be anymore. That's why Chick-fil-A is one of the most addictive fast foods on the market. This is why you'll see people every single day wrap around the entire building. It's not because they're, oh my gosh, Chick-fil-A's got the greatest value. They're quite expensive. It's not because they're just, oh my gosh, it's great food. It's because people get legally addicted to this food, and they will go in line and sit in line for 20 to 30 minutes every single day just to get their dopamine serotonin bump from all the chemicals in there. This food, as it shows here in this article here, it says the adverse health effects attributed to UPFs came from their contents because they replace whole foods rich in fiber, micronutrients, and protective phytochemicals. The distinction matters because it influences whether regulatory response should mirror tobacco control or instead prioritize dietary quality, reformulation standards, and food system diversification. And the one part on here that he says, I like this, and he says, where is it at here? I just had it a second ago. It says, the aspect of it, essentially, he said, unlike nicotine, essentially, you know, in tobacco products, they're not necessary for survival. While food, unlike tobacco, is essential for survival, the author argues the distinction makes actions doubtably necessary because it's difficult to opt out of modern food environment. You don't have to smoke cigarettes to stay alive. You don't have to.
It's like breathing chemtrails. You have to breathe it
right.
Out.
But then you have to eat food. And these people, in a lot of cases, don't know any better. So they're eating because it's in the modern food environment. And yet there's no regulations, no restrictions, no warnings on them. And that's why so many people are hooked on them. So that's why I want to cover
it. Well, you think about it, too. Think about it for a second. And we've talked about this. This is why the magnesium brain food does so well. It goes into the brain and chelates aluminum.
Yes.
Gets the aluminum back out of the brain. Magnesium brain food. It's a magnesium thionate. And what's crazy about it, they learned that you would not put aluminum in your body. You would not do that. You would not put barium in your body. But they spray it on you like you're a doggone bug, like you're a roach from 50,000, 40,000 feet. And it filters down and kills the things and poisons the soil. And you inhale it. It goes right through the olfactory system and goes into the brain and causes Alzheimer's disease. Period. And so, you know, the crazy part about it is it's the same thing with the food here, Austin. You have to eat to stay alive. You have to have calories. But it doesn't mean the health of, that you're going to sustain your health with the food. Yeah, we had a side-by-side up in North Carolina. We had a little place up there. And we had put some fuel into it. It had gone bad. We got some water in it, the whole bit. And it was running like it needed a new transmission, a new clutch in it. It was running awful. So we took it to the shop and said, I think it needs a new clutch. They looked at the fuel and they said, you got water in the fuel. They had to drain it all out and replace the fuel. It's like Austin said, yeah. The same thing is true with your body. You put junk into your body, it starts running bad. And it takes a while. But you see, that's why I like that article that you brought up earlier, Austin. It said that these young children get affected almost immediately because their body is so pure that you put these poisons into it so fast. And that's why so many kids, they started off immediately when they get born, they start going on the soy protein and all the chemicals. Have you looked at the chemicals in soy protein? It's unbelievable.
The average, as far as formula.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
There's a place in Europe, you can actually order organic formula from Europe. Most of them are pretty clean. There's some of them that still use a few oils that I don't like. But guys, a customer emailed the other day, and I sent him a link. I didn't go through all of them. There's a bunch of them. They offer some that are actually like certified organic, you know, milk-based, goat milk-based formulas out of Europe. What's ironic, you can't even get that stuff in the United States. You have to order it from Europe because Europe's one of the only places that still has that stuff. United States like, oh, yeah. We got this Similac stuff in it, man. You know, ultra-processed corn syrup solids, number one ingredient.
Well, the reason they call it Similac is because it lacks everything. It's an awful product.
Corn syrup solids, the second ingredient in this stuff? You're going to give that to an infant and you think, and then you wonder why they're having health problems.
And why they get obese almost immediately as a child.
Corn syrup solids.
You know, by the way, if you've got a child and it's obese as an infant, that is not that child's fault. You're the one feeding it that stuff. I'm going to mention that to you because I know it's going to. I'm kind of stepping on a few toes with that, but you need to change that child's diet. I have a friend of mine up in Georgia, and they had a little girl, and all she wanted to do was eat. They kept pumping the formula to her. And now she weighs 350, 400 pounds. And I warned them, oh, she'll grow out of it. No. When they're obese as a child, they build all of those fat cells those first 2 years, and it really makes it difficult when they get older to stay lean. It really does, because all those cells are screaming for glucose all of the time. So you got to be really careful with it and keep these kids eating clean and keep the kids in good shape when they're young. Really, really important with that. Oh, by the way, Epstein, to change the subject, has now claimed that Bill Gates, which nobody likes, I don't know who likes Bill Gates, was so cheap that he left his Russian mistress broke and sleeping on a friend's couch. Now, I do that as a little bit of a humor because we've got a little negative here. But the point is, his wife and him, of course, are divorced now. But the problem is, I mean, everybody wants to hate Bill Gates. But
he's not hard to hate.
No. The guy's a billionaire, supposedly. We don't know what he's worth. But he puts his money into a trust fund so he can basically have the Rothschilds tell him where to put it, I guess. And what's funny about this is he is the guy who was so cheap that he wouldn't even fly on a private jet. And he was a billionaire. And he was finally flying. on, you know, commercial all the time, and somebody had enough of him, put a pie in his face. Do you remember that? Walked up to him, put up like a cream pie right in his face, and he walks around with a pie on his face. He flew private after that. But you know, there's a certain point in time after you become a billionaire, probably before that you really don't have to deal with the masses throwing pies in your face. So apparently, he was so cheap that he left his Russian mistress broke and sleeping on a friend's couch. Now, chances are she was probably Mossad anyhow, and there's a picture of him with her. And what a mess. But when you realize, like Austin said earlier, that the entire planet is run by a sex, death, pedophile cult, and we're in the middle of this with them, and then you realize that even though they're releasing these files now, what's happening? Like you said, Austin, nobody's being arrested.
No. What they've done is now they've built this up, and we've asked for it, and now it comes out. And again, like you said,
we don't have the truth yet. No. Never.
Well, you have a basis of the truth. We know what the truth is. Oh, they've been giving it out there in little bits. But now I think some of it, too, is some normalcy bias. Everybody's gotten so used to this being normal now. That's why I keep saying, I'm like, you know what? Focus on your communities. Focus on your kids. Mm-hmm. Focus on your family. Focus on the stuff you can control. Because a lot of this stuff, it's total psychological manipulation. These guys that run all this stuff, they are leaders in deception. I mean, they're incredibly good at it. Psychological warfare is a real thing.
Most of Mossad's the best.
All wars are based on deception. All wars. We're in an information war right now. We're in a war for the hearts and souls and the minds and the families of the entire United States and the entire world. It's all based on deception. It's how much can we keep people deceived? How much can we keep people continually focused on what we don't want them to look at? And again, now we've got 3 million files that the FBI had to go through, but suddenly they can't find anybody because nobody trafficked nobody to nobody. But we see some of the bizarre stuff in these emails now. And it's like, now, okay. Where are you going with this, Patel? Now, that's on you.
We're not going to go anywhere because they're probably on the list too, Austin. I mean, here, Jeffrey Epstein was trained as a spy under Israeli Prime Minister. Unclassified FBI documents now claim. Newly unearthed documents obtained from the FBI and released by the Department of Justice show a classified document discussing Epstein's relation with the U.S. and allied intelligence services. The source of the disgraced financier's wealth has long been speculated upon, with little known about the origin of his fortune. A lot of that came from Les Wexner, by the way, from Victoria's Secret fame. Some have speculated that Epstein's wealth might at least be in part as a result of his work as a foreign intelligence services. The document from 2020 reads, Epstein was represented by Alan Dershowitz. Unbelievable, guys. The confidential human source remembered Dershowitz telling Acosta, U.S. Attorney, Southern District of Florida at the time, that Epstein belonged to both the U.S. and the Israeli intelligence services. And Alan Dershowitz was a Harvard law professor who said the document says influenced many students from their wealthy families, including Jared Kushner. He's another dual Israeli citizen. The document continues to CHS shared phone calls between Dershowitz and Epstein during which he or she took notes. After these calls, Mossad!
There you go.
Would then call Dershowitz to debrief. Did you hear what I just said? Mossad called up Dershowitz to debrief him of what had taken place with Epstein. Epstein was close to former Prime Minister of Israel, Ehud Barak, and was trained as a spy under him. You know, I told you guys this 6 years ago. 7 years ago, when I read that book, Dead Men Tell No Tales, and I warned you guys about what was going on. And now, finally, Austin, almost a decade later, it comes out that, you know, we were right again on the $10,000
show. Calls his attorney up to discuss debriefing.
From Mossad.
Basically saying, we got to let you know what's really going on here so you got the right information to handle this case.
Well, no, and what they're doing is, who else has he basically compromised?
Yeah, who else has been
here's
else
the, here's
to?
The list. These are the photos we have right here. We have these 10 more U.S. senators, these 10 more U.S. congressmen, these 10 more circuit court judges, these 10 more federal court justices, and they've all been linked now to these girls, and we've got them on surveillance tape so we can have them do whatever we ask them to do now because, quite frankly, we got them. That's why I said they don't have to be sitting in front of Polaroids. They got them on surveillance tapes on video. Just thought I'd mention that.
It's true. It's ridiculous. This is interesting now as far as with RF Kennedy Jr. now is renewing. They're basically renewing a lawsuit that basically reignites the debate about the American Academy of Pediatrics' famous 10,000 vaccine claim. I don't know if you guys ever remember this back in 2002. So a lawsuit filed by Children's Health Defense against the American Academy of Pediatrics. Basically, RFK Jr. is going after the AAP super hard now. because of what they've been trying to do. Remember the AAP? I brought this up 2 weeks ago. They came in and said, we're going to block the CDC from having any more vaccine committee, you know, meetings. You're not allowed to meet on any vaccines and discuss them. R.F. Kennedy said, where do you think and where do you possibly have the gall to come at us and tell us we're not allowed to have more meetings? We're going to block meetings. We're the AAP, American Academy of Pediatrics. We do what we want. Well, it's long been known now that the AAP and Big Pharma are literally almost one and the same. The right. same people that work with AAP and same people that are on the boards of American Academy of Pediatrics were the same ones that are on the boards of Pfizer and AstraZeneca and all these other companies now. And it says that
interlocking corporate directorships.
What they do. And they got this revolving door between the two. And it says the childhood vaccine schedule grew rapidly in the 80s and 90s, expanding from 11 doses targeting just four major diseases to over 20 doses by 2000 and many more up on the horizon. As the schedule grew, many parents began questioning whether the combined number of injections, given the increasing exposure to adjuvants, can be harmful to infants. The survey cites in the lawsuit that at the time, 23% of parents questioned the number of shots, 25% expressed concerns that it might weaken the immune system. The AAP promoted the expanding schedule, found itself under pressure to respond to parents' concern. And listen to this, the title of the article was Addressing Parents' Concern that came out in 2002 with pediatrics Dr. Paul Offit, a vaccine inventor and a member of the AAP committee and also previously worked with Big Pharma. Just leave that one in there. According to the lawsuit, the article's purpose was not to provide clinical evidence.
That's right.
Yeah, was not to provide clinical evidence to providers. Instead, it was about messaging public relations to reassure parents. Parents wanted to know whether injecting multiple vaccines with aluminum adjuvants, thimerosal, formaldehyde, polysorbate 80, and other residual materials could pose toxicological clinical effects to children. Offit's response focused instead on whether the immune system had the capacity to generate antibodies. His paper offered theoretical modeling, concluding that each infant would have the theoretical capacity to respond to about 10,000 vaccines at any one time.
That's a moron.
With zero documented research to back that claim, by the way. Zero. None. Nada. Zip. He said, this is like answering, is it safe to drink 10 beers? The liver can theoretically process unlimited water. No, it's not safe to drink 10 beers. But yet, it could theoretically be safe because the liver can process it. In other words, Offit's response said nothing about toxic ingredient vaccines, how it might affect the brain, inflammation, autoimmune disease, and it simply was essentially placating the parents with fraud, creating a new paradigm for addressing safety. So what happened was, after this, everybody started basically parroting the AAP. Oh no, we're only giving your child 7 vaccines today. You wonder how this happened. You wonder how this got normalized. Every time you go in, there's 6, 7, 8 shots that the child has to get. This is what they based it off of with zero research, zero data. Because remember, I brought this up for years, and nobody has been able to rebuttal this. How is it safe and how is it normal for a child to be able to process 7 different shots at one time that are full of polysorbate 80, aluminum, thimerosal, and so forth? When at any point in time is a child going to be exposed to 7 different types of viruses like that? They're going to be exposed to measles, pertussis, rubella, mumps, I mean, tetanus, all these different things all at one time. It's impossible. It's never going to happen. But yet, oh, it's theoretically plausible to say they can handle 10,000 vaccines at one time. Complete lie with no science backing it. Yet that's what the pediatricians parented after that and got the parents completely on board with lies, more lies, and more lies. And that's why, again, I've gone so much to rebuttal these topics. And I'm so glad now many, many people are really starting to question what's going on with this, and actually you're taking a step back and saying, no, I'm going to do my own research before we just blindly keep injecting these kids with shots that are causing health problems to them.
Well, you know, I can't find out what religion he practices, but I don't think I have much of a, you know, whatever about that. They're not, I just looked him up on Wikipedia, and they're not saying if he's a Christian, if he's a Muslim, or if he's a Jew. They're not saying anything.
Highly doubt he's a Christian.
I can guarantee he's not a Christian. You know the thing, if I had a Wikipedia page, which I don't want, by the way, it was saying that Ted Brewer is a hardcore follower of Jesus Christ. It would say that. Ted Brewer goes to church every week. It would say that. And Ted Brewer prays every day. It would say that. When these guys don't speculate what religion they are in there, invariably, and they ain't Christian.
That's true.
Now, I just tried to find it for a second before I make a speculation claim that I'm not sure of, but I can pretty much guarantee he's not a born-again believer. And so, again, remember, when they're not born-again believers, they like that free air. So I mentioned that. And they want to get as much money as they possibly can, especially from the vaccine manufacturers.
Exactly right.
As far as what they're producing. And if, now you can produce, you could go out, you can produce antibodies for 10,000 vaccines. Who in the world talks like that?
No, as I said, it is a 2002 article Sky published. That's what everybody debated afterwards, is the pediatricians did use that as a rebuttal.
Of course they did.
Oh, it's okay. Your child's getting 8 shots today. It's safe. They could have 10,000 shots in one day. They'd be perfectly fine.
No, they won't. I've watched them come down with autism after a group of shots in one day. I've seen it repeatedly.
It's not even plausible. It's not even legitimate rebuttal. But yeah, this guy published it in
the
paper.
Well, here's the problem. And here's the question for you if you're a parent. If you know there's a possibility that your child's going to come down with autism if you give them multiple shots in a row like they do, and they have, if you've seen many of your friends come down with autism, why do you want to take that risk on that child's behalf? If you know this, now a lot of times you don't know. I got that. You give a child a shot because you were unclear of this and you never did any research on it. But if you know that and you've watched shows like this or you've read articles like this is talking about, and you say, well, there's a possibility. What is the risk? Then you got to mitigate risk. You got to say, well, here's the percentage of risk that I'm willing to accept for this child. And you don't go beyond that. You just don't do it. If you're saying, I'm going to drive 99 miles an hour on the interstate, because if I drive 100 miles an hour on the interstate, I can have my license taken away, I can go to jail, and they can impound the car if I'm 30 miles an hour over the speed limit. That's a mitigated risk. You say, I'm going to stay under 100. Now, I'm not telling you to do that. Stay with the speed limit. But the point is, it's how you have to process. And so you have to realize that if you get, it's like Austin, when he's going to win the military when he's 19 years old as an officer with OCS program, and then Obama won the, you know, won. And I told Austin, I said, I've protected you all of these years against these vaccines. Make sure you don't have to take 100 vaccines when you get involved and you go in. Then he found out as an officer he didn't have to.
Well, but yeah, I could get a religious exemption for him,
but it could not be deployed.
So it
was one of those things. So everybody has to mitigate. So that's how you have to train your brain. What am I doing? What's it doing to me? And is that okay? Train your brain like that with all that. Okay, I'm laying on the couch 20 hours a day. I'm sleeping most of the day on the couch. Is that okay? Well, no, it's not okay. Go do something. You know, don't lay on the couch all day and sleep. You go out and get involved with your life. This is not a practice session, by the way. We get one go around on this planet. That's it. We don't come back reincarnated. It doesn't work that way. So enjoy your life, love what you do, and do the best you can to help other people and serve the Most High God. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. We're going to serve the Most High God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Moses. We're going to serve the Great I Am, period. We're going to serve Jesus Christ in the New Covenant. We're going to do that. And if we do that and we realize that's what we're doing, we can have a fulfilled life, because it's through the righteous peace and joy, through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, that you get happiness and joy. Without that, you don't get that. You're always searching for something else, another dopamine trigger, like we train the kids. You got to have another dopamine with the iPad. So you're always looking for the next high, and then you turn to drugs to get the next high, or you turn to alcohol. And the sad part about it is, it can only be filled through the Holy Spirit.
Well, and that's why it's so
important. At least we have that solution set.
It's so important with kids to make sure you limit the social media and the screen time. The reason why I reiterate that is, like we talked about before, the dopamine receptors in young children are unbelievably responsive. It's designed to do that. So when they accomplish a serious task, they're greatly rewarded for it, and it starts building that brain
connection. That's why you build them up.
So they start having this brain connection. Well, I did this. I accomplished this. The body and the brain and the reward system starts working together. When you start putting them on social media or TikTok or Instagram when they're 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, it's all of a sudden they start getting all this dopamine. Every time I swipe, I get more dopamine on stuff that's not even real most of the time. Like, newsflash, Instagram and TikTok are not a real place. They're not real. Kids don't understand that. Mm-hmm. So you've got to be careful. You protect as much as possible. Thank you guys for being on the show. Thank you for supporting us this week and every month and every year, especially the 3%ers. I love when I get emails from you guys. It starts off like 3% at the top. I'm like, all right, I don't even have to look you up. I already know where you are. I already know what you're doing. As far as, you know, I already know that.
That's why you, the 3%ers, many of you, many times will get a phone call from me or Austin.
I have, many times. Yeah, you know, we try to do our best to support you guys. Thank you for taking your time out to listen to the show, to forward it, to send it. Even if you want to make snippets of it or shorts of it, post them. Thank you for reposting our stuff. The Multiple Powder, you love it. You wanted it. I threw it on sale for you. On sale, product of the week, my friends. Stay strong, stay healthy. Email us if you got any questions, and we'll be on this show again tomorrow as always.
Ted.Brower is my real email, and if you're a 3%er and you need me to call you, you send me an email. I'll give you a shout. Now, maybe from a caller ID block, if you don't pick up, not my problem. Okay, but I will give you a call. I love you guys. I appreciate you. I thank you so very much for your support. And we'll be here for you. We'll continue to pray for you. God bless you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you.